During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol of Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Ducati, Marco Marquez on this Thursday, February 2nd, 2023. Nate and I will be headed out to Arrowhead a little bit later. Nate will be in the locker room. I'll be in the press conferences, and we'll have coverage for you tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm sure that our man Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star will be out there as well. He joins us in studio right now. Jesse, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, guys. How about you guys?
Doing awesome. And we also have a job shadow this morning, a young man by the name of Killian, who graduated St. Pius with Phil St. John, and they remain close friends. Killian is a sophomore at Northwest Missouri State, so representing Maryville. And also, he said, after watching Marco for an hour, he said, "Boy, Marco is a pro." Marco, your reaction to Killian watching you for an hour and declaring that you were a pro.
Sarcasm.
That's high praise. What do you say about it? How do you feel about that? That's what he said.
You know, he's going to fit just right in because he's a comedian, so it's great.
He's going to fit right in because he understands immediately as an intern, sucking up to the producer within the first 45 minutes of arriving here.
How would that have worked with the last one?
He's very savvy.
I didn't do any sucking up with the last one.
With Jake?
How would that have gone?
Because Jake hated all interns no matter whether you were nice or not.
So I said, look how they set it up for you.
Yeah.
Now you're here.
You're in the catbird seat.
Yeah.
You're in the catbird seat. Bring him up to the mic. So what are you... So you're at Northwest Missouri State. What are you starting today? You said it's a big day because after this you're leaving and going back up to campus. So what goes on today for you?
So as soon as I get done here with this interview, I'm headed right back to Maryville to go and get on the TV sports production team.
Oh wow!
So I'm pretty excited. I kind of get to start a little bit of dabbling in everything as far as media is concerned. So I'm kind of.
On the same day you meet Marco Marquez, which is tremendous, overwhelming for you, really.
If I can be a tenth of him, I think I can be. Think I can be pretty good in this business.
How about thank you very much, Killian? There's your debut right there on 810. Well done. Did you hear that? He only wishes to be a tenth of what Marco is.
Well, I mean, dream big, you know.
That's right, dream big. Thank you, Killian. Very good. And also, Killian, known as someone who was also coached by me in middle school and grade school basketball.
That was the first thing he mentioned to me when he started going down his resume.
Well, it should be at the top.
Yeah.
It should be.
That's what he said.
So thank you.
He said he learned leadership and gumption from you.
Thank you. Jesse Newell, also cursing, probably is what he learned from me.
He didn't learn basketball.
He didn't miss that as a thing.
They weren't great. hey, I'm the effort coach. I'm the effort guy. I'm like, come on, let's go.
That was back. Didn't you sprain your ankle scrimmaging with those guys one time or something like that?
No, I tore ligaments.
Yeah.
When Connor Daly stepped on my foot while I was trying to defend his drive,
and cut him from the team.
No, I cut myself from the team after that. Jesse, it's very exciting. The Chiefs are back in the Super Bowl. When do you head down? When do you head over to Arizona?
Fly out Sunday.
You fly out Sunday, and so before we get into what happened against Cincinnati, I'm just going to run down the different players that were injured in that game and tell me, we don't know anything yet, we just saw the injury report, but just give me a gut feel for how concerned you are about their availability for a week from Sunday. We'll start off with the receivers. And this guy walking up the tunnel scared me because he looked like he had been through it. Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, probably somewhere in the middle. You're right, because the worst indication we got was him walking back to the locker room and He looked bad. Yeah, it was a hobble.
Me walking somewhere, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was not good. But, I mean, the thing that is encouraging, you would say, is, you're going to mention this with a couple of guys, is it's an ankle. And it's not probably a high ankle sprain, which is what Mahomes is, you know, hobbling around on and playing with, playing well with. So, you know, I would probably put him somewhere in the middle of these guys you're about to list. Hopefully so, because it is a body part that can heal up in 2 weeks. But the early signs in that locker room, or going to the locker room, were not encouraging.
He's battled the knee. That's been a situation all year long. So hope the 2 weeks. Boy, this is when that bye week is really wonderful to get these guys back.
Yeah.
Right? Mecole Hardman. What scares me is that was a re-aggravation of something that kept him out for so long. And I almost feel like, okay, it's a championship game. Let's give it a go. And he went out there and just, he looked like he was in horrible pain. I hope he can play, but that makes me nervous because it was the same thing that kept him out for so long.
Yeah, I would say I'm the most pessimistic about him. He probably, from what it looked like he probably played his last down this year for the Chiefs, but they sure needed him for when he was in there.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of one of those, they do in the Super Bowl stories, that somebody will go back to Mecole Hardman and get that entire story about, you know, what it took for him to play and what it took for him to help the Chiefs advance to where they got to. So, pretty courageous for him to be out there, but I'm most pessimistic about him playing the Super Bowl.
Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, you know, they use him as a gadget player, and, you know, I think same thing I talked about with Juju. I know you talk about Juju, the knee, ankle, whatever it is. Kadarius, though, it does look like an ankle, and he's the guy that's kind of, you kind of wonder with injuries a lot. I would probably be most optimistic about him just because, you know, we've seen this from him where it's kind of in and out, but 2 weeks, that's something that doesn't look super severe. I would say probably a pretty decent chance, at least at this point in time.
Legarius Sneed.
Yeah, those are concussions. I mean, those have their own timeline.
I sneed him to play.
Yeah. That's a... I was waiting. I was like, okay, Marco, quick on the draw.
Whatever.
Got to get the rim shot in there. I would say yes, but again, that's its own timeline. You know, Tua still has not passed concussion protocol. So all those are, you know, all their own thing. But based off of it being the Super Bowl and based off of, you know, what normal timelines are with concussions, where a few days later you're okay, then I'd say he plays.
The opposite of Juju Smith-Schuster walking over the tunnel, and again, just walking over the tunnel, but he runs up the tunnel and he's jumping up and down, high-fiving.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't know he left with a concussion, like, oh, this guy is ready to go do a backflip or something. Because honestly, there's times when guys have left with a concussion that they're in a dark room and they ain't high-fiving or doing nothing because the symptoms are so bad. That gave me hope. Like, okay, it looks like he's okay. Willie Gay with the shoulder.
Yeah, probably another one of those with Juju, probably right in the middle. Because if it's a pain tolerance thing, then you're going to assume Willie Gay's going to be out there. I mean, this guy is going to tough through some things. But obviously he didn't return to the game after he was injured and they had to go with some different looks. So, you know, we'll see on that one, but I would call that one kind of in the middle with Juju, and I would say if you had to ask me right now, I would think that it would lean toward him gutting it out and playing.
When you factor in all of those injuries, along with what Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes were dealing with, what does that say to you that the Chiefs were still able to win this game despite all of those challenges they had to face from injuries?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, and it also speaks to the team aspect of this, where we've talked about the Chiefs so often this year where it's been about everybody else, and this is like how KU wins a national title, right? Like, Bill Self convinces all these really good players that they need to play a role, and the pie's big enough for everybody. Marquez Valdes-Scantling has the biggest game of his Chiefs career, has the best game maybe of his life.
It was terrific.
And he comes in the locker room, and the first thing he talks about is how Sky Moore stepped up, how Marcus Kemp stepped up. I mean, that's the sort of thing where that's how you win championships. That's how you get to the Super Bowl. It's amazing, guys. Like, Marcus Kemp, I was going through some of these numbers. Marcus Kemp played 10 offensive snaps for the Chiefs all season. Yeah. He played 11 snaps for the Chiefs in the fourth quarter of the AFC Championship game.
If you'd have told me that before the game, I'd have walked home, I think.
Yeah. That's, and again, the 10 snaps he had before that are most likely fourth quarter, you're up 25 points. Like, okay, Marcus, go in there. We don't want Juju taking any more hits, that sort of thing. He doubled his snaps in the last quarter of the season, the most important quarter of the season. I mean, we talk about Sky Moore. Like, you look up, Sky Moore's returning punts in the AFC Championship game in a tie game. If I'd have told you that on Thursday
I'd have been mad at you. I can tell you that. No, we were sitting there. It's all fine to do revisionist history. But in the press box, he goes back there. There's like three, a few of us talking. I looked at Leibold and I said, "Can you believe he's like right now? It's less than a minute in the AFC Championship game, and Sky Moore's back there. This is horrifying." And I said, "Can you imagine?" And this was the fun thing about it. Like, after everything, can you imagine if he fumbles this one? And I think, I don't know who said it. Somebody said, or if he has a great return right here. Like either way, it's this wild story. You know what I mean? It could have just been a fair catch or
directly
whatever.
Directly facing demons. I mean, can you imagine like demons that have not left you yet?
And I was, and I'm not, I'm being 100% honest. I wasn't sitting there like, yes, he's going to get redemption. Let's go. I was like, no. And I'm like, please punt it out of bounds. Please punt it just away. And and the whole time, like, ah. But that's like, you couldn't write a better script. And I told the story. I can't remember if you were standing right there or you were in the interview room, but when Dave Tobe runs up the ramp, I'm standing next to Vahe and Adam, and he runs over to where we are. How about Sky Moore? And he wasn't doing it like an a-hole. He was like, how about Sky Moore? Like, yeah, I'm sure he had to be sweating. If you weren't sweating, then you're lying, because it was like, that could have gone anywhere. But it was, not only did he catch it, but he made one of the biggest plays of the game.
Yeah, I mean, is it time for the Jesse Newell mea culpa with Dave Tobe? Because, like, I was the guy sitting here saying you should fair catch everything. You know,
oh,
the Chiefs'
too.
Offense is good enough. And he kept saying, they're going to break one. They're going to break one. It's going to make a difference in a game. And he's not gonna give up on Sky Moore. He's going to keep trying him back there. And, again, this was out of necessity. And it was a point in the game where the Chiefs needed something to happen.
Yes.
You know, they needed to kind of mix things up a little bit. They were tied in the AFC Championship game. You know, you need a big punt return play, and sure enough, Sky Moore got it. So, listen, to the victors go the spoils. So, for Dave Tobe to stay with what we talked about, like, hey, why not fair catch everything? Give it back to your offense. Don't worry about this. That was my stance 100% a few weeks ago. They did not follow that, and they're in the Super Bowl now because Sky Moore had a big return for them. So, credit where credit is due that happened. But another thing, going back to the offense part of this, you know, you're talking about the three receivers on the field for the Chiefs are Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Sky Moore, and Marcus Kemp at the end of this game. We also have to talk about how the Chiefs, sometimes it probably delays a little bit of the receiver being able to step in right away and play right away. I mean, I think Sky Moore is probably an example. As we saw him in one example out there where he kind of raised his hands. It didn't seem like he knew what play was called or what route to run with Patrick Mahomes out there. But they teach all the receivers every position. And when you're down to three receivers, that probably allows you to run your offense more completely than it would if, okay, Marquez, you're only running this. You're only running this position. They were down to three guys. I mean, they had no other options left other than just throw some tight ends on the field. And, oh, by the way, your tight end number one is not performing out there at 100% because his back is locking up. So to be able to function the way they did in those sets of circumstances, that's pretty amazing. The one thing we do have to mention is Justin Watson was inactive for the game with sickness. You would expect that he's going to be back in this one, and they're going to need him to be back in this one.
And like you said, it was out of necessity. Sky Moore's back there because the other options, Watson was inactive, Tony was out, McCole Harbin was out. And so they were backed into a corner, but it worked out. Nate Bucchetti.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this, and I've been saying it since I tweeted it during the game that Mahomes is out here throwing to Marcus Kemp and Sky Moore in the fourth quarter of an AFC Championship game. But if I'm Marcus Kemp, I think I'm tired of everybody saying he's throwing passes to Marcus Kemp.
He wasn't even active the week before.
I know. Hey, look,
he wasn't active the week before. That's crazy.
I know, and I think everybody means it with the right spirit. Of course, not like we're trying to crap on Marcus Kemp, you know. But it's like the tone of our voice.
What's the last time you remember a throw to him? I remember it was bouncing off his hands. Remember how we had touted him? And was it this year or the year before?
Well, I understand what you're saying, Nate. Too, I do want to say this. Here's what's important, okay? Sky Moore, when he went to the punt return, why was he able to go back there? Because he stayed ready. He was the four-string punt returner, but he took them every practice, and he practiced them, and he stuck with going to do it and didn't give up on it. Because he thought, maybe next year, maybe the year after, I'm going to return punts. But he stuck with it, and he kept trying, and he kept working. Marcus Kemp had no reason to come into this week thinking, I need to know the entire offense and all the routes.
I might be in there in the fourth quarter.
You
let me get ready.
Yeah. To have a veteran who's like, I'll go ahead and study the playbook. Maybe I'll get in for a snap. Maybe a guy will go down and I'll need to step in. He knew everything. He was out there. He ran the curl route that got the completion. So I see what you're saying, Nate, and you're right. We shouldn't disparage Marcus Kemp. But I do mean it in the best sense, which is like, these two guys had no reason. This guy had no reason to be prepared to punt return in the AFC Championship game. And Marcus Kemp had no reason to think he was going to get in for 11 offensive snaps in the fourth quarter of the AFC Championship game. Both guys were ready. They were ready for that moment, even though they had no reason to be ready for the moment.
And then also, two of you had told me, hey, Snead's going out, you know, early in the first
like
quarter.
The second play, yeah, or whatever.
And Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. Hey, what'd you say? And they met that challenge.
Here's the analogy. You have dogs, Steven.
Oh, I love them. Danny and Augie.
Whenever I've had a dog in my house, you talk about staying ready.
I'm also
As soon as there is food being prepared or food being consumed, any dog I've ever had is right there below the food, ready just in case. You might not drop any food for a month straight, but they're going to be there ready in case an ounce of that food drops off your plate. I'm going to be ready to capitalize on it, right? And that's the way a good back, Chad Henne. Chad Henne's got to be ready. You know, he's got to be at the drop of a hat, he might have to be there. And
That's coaching and culture.
100%. All the stuff we're talking about, keeping the guy not only ready, but also confident and believing in himself that, hey, we still believe in you. You know, you got to believe in yourself. It is something that this game was a bigger testament to the importance of every single person in the organization than I can remember. And we saw it.
Let's go to a few more. How about Brian Cook went to Cincinnati in college, gets burned on the play of Jamar Chase, comes back, same sort of route, out and up, tips it, gets the interception. Speaking of the locker room moment, Steven, he comes in, and as Sam McDowell pointed out, you know, he goes basically to his family and starts crying.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. We got off the elevator, and so, you know, when you get off the elevator and you start going down the hallway to eventually get to the interview room, get off the elevator, you take a right, and right there was Cook with a couple members of family, gigantic tears streaming down his cheeks. And then you're reminded, he's what, 22, 20, he's still a young man that just in his rookie season was out there playing in the championship game and had those big plays, and now he's going to the Super Bowl, and he's talking to his mom and just big, giant tears right outside the elevator. That was awesome.
How about Joshua Williams? Who was the GOAT last time the Chiefs played the Bengals?
Not the good kind of GOAT.
Not the good kind of GOAT. I mean, and again, this was self-inflicted.
I was going to say Patrick Mahomes.
Well, yeah, but, you know, Joe Burrow threads the needle on a pass to T. Higgins to win the game, and who's the coverage on? Joshua Williams. He doesn't tweet like all year. He tweets out, got to be better after the game. Says he'll take this personally. Who comes in when Legarius Sneed goes out and plays amazing coverage? Joshua Williams, you know, gets the interception off the Brian Cook tip. I mean, you can just go up and down the line with this. You know, Harrison Butker's been up against it all year. Tommy Townsend, that last field goal, if you go back and watch it, that was not the perfect snap. He got that thing down and up, and Harrison Butker kicks it through. So, yeah, I mean, it's almost weird to be talking about this before the Super Bowl, because it, in many ways, like the storybook ending for all these things coming together, came together in the AFC Championship game. So we'll see what the Chiefs have left, but it was pretty amazing. That, you know, the word is redemption. Obviously, we heard so much in the locker room, but there were so many redemption stories. It's the kind of script that'd be tough to write outside of sports.
And I have fallen into already this narrative that, well, the Chiefs got the best player, but the Eagles got the best roster. But then we have this conversation like we have, and I'm like, do they? Because that was about the Chiefs' 53-man roster. That was about the depth that they've built through the draft and being able to take that money Tyreek Hill was going to get and spread it around. That was about being able to rely on your fifth, sixth, seventh wide receiver, your backup defensive back, your backup linebacker. That was a comment about how good the Chiefs roster is. And maybe if the Eagles roster is better, it ain't that much better, because the Chiefs are not just a couple of superstars and everybody else. They showed that on Sunday.
Yeah, you just remind me, Darius Harris, another one. I mean, how many times has Spags gotten asked this year? Why are you playing Darius Harris? Why are you throwing him in there on these certain downs? Well, he goes out, Gay goes out, they need him. You're right. I mean, I think it kind of goes both ways here, Steve. Like, to win one like that with the guts, it's pretty amazing. To go to the Super Bowl against a team that's pretty good like you, like, you'd like to have all those guys we talked about back. So that'll make a big impact. You know, I talked to Jay Cornegay, the guy from Westgate's Superbook Sports, and he said if all guys were healthy, he has the Chiefs as a slight favorite. Because they're not all healthy at this moment, he has the Eagles as a slight favorite. So that's kind of the margin we're talking about. Very slim things when it comes to Super Bowl, and you're talking about teams who have been very good, and obviously the dominant teams and their respective conferences for most of this season.
We'll see how healthy everybody is, but to me, you know, we go back to what we've always talked about, who's got the better quarterback and coach combo? And Sirianni, we don't know. Maybe he'll turn out to be the greatest coach in the history of the NFL. But for right now, it's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. I think that the thing that was so incredible about this game too was the dual storylines of all that redemption and depth of the roster, and also your biggest stars putting on heroic performances. You know, they had both of that in this game, and they don't win without both of them.
They had it all. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB.
Hey everybody, Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind: integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call, 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing, integrity matters.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have Chiefs beat reporter for the Kansas City Star, Jesse Newell. Follow him on Twitter. Jesse Newell is his handle. We've been talking about the Chiefs' performance in the AFC Championship game. And now looking ahead to the Super Bowl, we still got a week plus a few days. I'm curious what you think of the Eagles' position players, because I know that most people will say the 1-2 punch of Ja'Marr Chase and Higgins is better, and plus you got Boyd. But A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are dynamic. And Devontae Smith, like we're talking to Adam Kaplan, even though he's about 165 pounds, he's a big play waiting to happen. And A.J. Brown has just been everything they possibly wanted him to be after trading a first-round pick to the Titans for him. You've got a good group of running backs, and then the quarterback that ran for over 700 yards this year. And Dallas Goedert. So overall, skilled position players, Cincinnati or Philadelphia better?
Yeah, that's a good question. Obviously, the top end Cincinnati, but the overall might be the Eagles. But you know, I was listening to the Pro Football Focus guys kind of talk about this on a podcast about, you mentioned A.J. Brown, and it's kind of, it settles in Devontae Smith. Like, they're wondering, can he be a number one receiver? Can he be a number one receiver? Well, you don't need to be anymore. You know what I mean? You get the guy, and then you say, okay, it's these guys can kind of settle in. To be honest, the thing that probably concerns me, or would concern me most about the Eagles if I were the Chiefs, is the run game with Jalen Hurts. Now, listen, I know he's still hurt or whatever, but this is the Super Bowl. You're going to pull out the stops you have. They kind of have those interchangeable running backs where they put in, you know, Sanders or Scott or whoever, that Gainwell, who all can kind of do the same thing. But when you get your quarterback run game going in this, you have the one less guy you have to block out there. And we go back in time, and the Chiefs have had some issues in the past when there have been mobile quarterbacks and being able to to run the football. And we just know that the Eagles have had great success doing this. And that's part of Jalen Hurts' success, is that he is on his rookie contract and he can provide this in the run game that a lot of other teams don't do with their particular quarterback. But, you know, one interesting thing, I remember talking to Brett Veach back in training camp, and I just asked him kind of an open-ended question about Justin Reed. Why were you guys targeting Justin Reed? What did you like about him? And I thought he gave a pretty interesting answer, which is he said that you can stay in nickel, but he can come downhill and help in the run game. When you play these quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, who potentially provide problems in the run game when you still want to have pass defense out there. So this could be kind of one of those, we talk about full circle, this could be a Justin Reed game where, you know, can you get that quarterback run support while also staying flexible to be able to cover the pass as well? That's really the bind that the Eagles have put teams in this year, and if the Chiefs can handle that a little bit better than years past, then maybe that gives them an edge that they might not have had before.
So I have a weird theory on this. I want to see if you'll go with me on it. And it started with just thinking about Karlaftis.
Is it a conspiracy theory?
It's not a conspiracy theory.
Now we're done then.
It started me thinking about Karlaftis and the challenge that the defensive ends always have facing that zone read concept. And then I started thinking about six rookies playing significant snaps on defense in a Super Bowl. I almost wonder if it's not a positive for them, in that we're talking about a college offensive scheme. College guys play zone read concepts all the time. I would guess that Karlaftis, I'm sorry, I love saying that name.
Right.
it's a you know, homage to Kelsey, but you know, Karlaftis, Cook, Chanel, all these corners, like, they have to have seen zone read offenses time and time again during their time in college. This isn't, they're not that far removed from seeing it. And I just wonder if that might, in a weird way, not be a little bit of a benefit for them that they're coming straight out of college and seeing this.
You hope so. And the other part about this is part of when you go the rookie route or the younger player route, is you're hoping to get faster and stronger and quicker downhill. You know what I mean? Like, do you trust Brian Cook and Justin Reed more than you do Tyrann Mathieu and Daniel Sorensen? I mean, probably so. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of what you're going to. And then plus these other rookies who, if nothing else, you know, Joshua Williams has been a willing tackler. Jalen Watson has come down to him and been a willing tackler. So that's maybe part of the secondary we haven't talked about as much with the rookies, is that they have been good support in the run game when they've needed it. The other thing I would counter with, you know, I've got a story coming out here soon at the Kansas City Star about the Chiefs and the success they've had recently against other teams' pass offenses, and they've gone to their dime look a lot. That has been one of Steve Spagnuolo's specialties throughout time, is putting six defensive backs on the field. They've gotten two interceptions on it the last 2 weeks. It's been successful for them. Again, you probably are going to have to steer a little bit away from that if the Eagles get the run game going as you'd expect, and it's in one of those game situations where it's close, 0-0, 7-7. If the Eagles are down 14-0, obviously they got a pass. You can go to your dime. But it might force the Chiefs to switch it up a little bit with their base personnel. And like you said, that could be Norlio Chanel, more guys like that, relying on them to potentially stop that run game so you can get the Eagles to a place where they have to pass.
Guys, saw a tweet that caught my eye yesterday from Timo Risk from Pro Football Focus. He said he didn't have a really strong take here about this, but thought it was interesting. The four best offenses that the Eagles played this season were the Cowboys with Dak Prescott, the Packers, the Jags, and the Lions. And three of those dropped 33 or more points on them. And the Jags had 21, but had a bunch of turnovers. And I don't put the Jags in that same, or I don't consider them a elite offense, or maybe I'm wrong, or a great offense. But a lot of people have talked about the Eagles, who they played or who they beaten, and then the fact that they only had to go through Daniel Jones and Brock Purdy / Josh Johnson to get to the Super Bowl. And I was in here preaching to Marco. I said, look, I just feel like the Chiefs are battle-tested. They went through this hell game with Cincinnati to get to the other side. And if this is going to be a close game, which I think it will be, then Philadelphia just doesn't have the experience and doesn't have, I don't want to say toughness, but just hasn't been through what the Chiefs have been through. And that's why I love the Chiefs in a close game by 3 points or so. Is there anything to take away from the Chiefs having the harder road, the Chiefs going through the better conference, and the Chiefs having a much tougher couple of games in the playoffs as opposed to the Eagles just kind of rolling through? I mean, of course you want to, you love to blow everyone out, but I think back to what are some of the games that I mentioned were high-flying offenses? Like I remember when the Rams took on the Patriots in the Super Bowl, or even back when, you know, the Bills took on the Giants, these teams that were blowing everyone out that couldn't be stopped went up against tougher, more battle-tested teams and lost. Am I just searching for reasons why to pick the Chiefs, or do you think there's anything to that?
I think you're searching. That's okay. That's okay.
I'll keep searching too.
Cheers to searching. No, I mean, listen, if you're a Chiefs fan, that's what you're relying on, that you want that to be a factor. You want that to be something in the end. I mean, the only thing I would caution against is the Chiefs went through something similar to this last year in the AFC Divisional. They had the close game against the Bills. They were battle-tested. They willed their way through it. You felt great about their chances against the Bengals, who weren't as battle-tested. And, you know, then the Chiefs had, I mean...
But I think that's where the bye week plays a big role.
Could be.
It gives them an extra week to bounce back, because I think the Chiefs, it did work against the Chiefs because they had gone
you
through
You see what
it
I'm saying, though? Yes. Like the Eagles, it's sort of like having the bye week earlier. It's like we always talked about that. That was the big advantage for the Chiefs, is you have a 0% chance of losing that first round. The Eagles... I mean, for lack of a better term, the way that they sail through the NFC playoffs, it's almost been kind of like a bye. They're not crazy injured. Again, Jalen Hurts and Lane Johnson, we'll see. But, I mean, they weren't really tested in those two games. Whereas the Chiefs, I mean, they gave everything they had to get to the Super Bowl in this particular game. So, yeah, I mean, you can kind of pick your narrative here. The bottom line is, we all know this. Like, these are two good teams. The line is really close, and if the Chiefs were fully healthy, or if we know they're fully healthy, then I like their chances a lot better. Or, I mean, they're not going to be fully healthy, but, you know, if you told me Juju, Willie Gay, and Kadarius Toney are playing.
And Snead.
I'd say the Chiefs are a favorite, right? Mm-hmm. If you take two of those guys out, I'd say the Eagles are probably a point favorite. I mean, that's the slimmest of margins. I mean, the bottom line is, this is great. Like, this is what you want in the Super Bowl, and we have all the storylines to begin with, but these are... Over the course of the year, the two best teams with the best records in their respective conferences meeting up in the Super Bowl, and the Eagles getting there just a little bit less hurt, a little more fortunate than the Chiefs are at this particular point. And so if things heal up in the next couple weeks, then I'd expect the Chiefs, that line, to swing just a little bit. But the fact that the Chiefs, you know, we go all the way back to the beginning of the season, the fact that they trade away one of their greatest assets, got the draft picks, all those draft picks contributed to this game, and they made their way to the Super Bowl again this year. And already, by the way, I'm talking to Jay Cornegay, already the co-favorites with the Bills to win next year's Super Bowl. It's a pretty amazing place to be.
I just feel like all the things that I lean on when I'm trying to pick a big game, you know, who's got the better coach? The Chiefs. Who's got the better quarterback? The Chiefs. Who's got more experience in big games? The Chiefs. Who's been battle-tested? The Chiefs. I know there's some things, like you said, it seems like Philadelphia's healthier and maybe they have more of a complete team, but there's a lot of things, intangibles, that favor the Chiefs here.
I will go with you absolutely on what Timo was saying, and I've been repeating this a lot, is pass offense, having a great pass offense is better than anything you can have. It just is. And so we can talk about the Eagles' defense being good. They're better in the secondary than they used to be. They've obviously had the dominant defensive line for many years now. But guess what? A good pass offense beats it. And that's what you saw with those numbers. The Chiefs have a good pass offense. Again, when they have all their weapons, and sometimes when they don't have all their weapons, they do. So we go back to exactly what you're saying, Stephen, which is Patrick Mahomes is important. I mean, is he going to look like he did this past game? If he does and can be 80 to 85, 90% of himself, that pass offense can beat the Eagles defense, even if the Eagles defense has been good this year. So that's the advantage the Chiefs have. You talked about Andy Reid being there before. Again, we'll see. I mean, he won the Super Bowl against the 49ers. They didn't win the Super Bowl against the Bucks. So all these things can kind of go out the window once things either go for you or against you in a certain game. But, yeah, if you are going into a matchup and you want to have one thing that you know is sort of foolproof if you execute, it's a passing offense and a quarterback. The Chiefs have a passing offense and quarterback. So if you're going to talk about them winning the game, that's where you start, and that's probably pretty close to where you finish.
Nate Bucati.
Just to back you up a little bit on that Jags point, too, that was week four. The Jags offense was not in week four what they were later in the season. So I think that I do think there's a stark difference, in my opinion, between what the Eagles have seen this year and what the Chiefs have seen. I have thought all along that the AFC has been far better than the NFC this year. So I don't know that a 14-3 records are created equal. That is not to make it seem like the Eagles aren't any good. I mean, I expect this game to go down. I just feel like it's going to be just like the Bengals game, where it goes down to the wire, and it's going to come down to maybe which team wins the turnover battle, which team makes a couple of big plays here or there. So I'm not trying to sit here and act like, oh, the Eagles aren't any good. But I do think some of the talk of how much better the Eagles roster is than the Chiefs is a little bit overblown. And look, maybe the fact that the Chiefs just didn't blow any of those bad teams out that they played down the stretch is an indicator that they're not quite as great as maybe the great Super Bowl teams would be. But I kind of feel like it's more of the case of the Chiefs are the team that have had the target on. Well, I don't want to make this analogy again. They're one of those teams.
Do
that
it.
They're the Kansas Jayhawks. You know, there they're everybody. They're
ding.
Round of applause. Sirens.
The alarm, whatever. they're going to get everybody's best shot this year. They got everybody's best shot, and they withstood it, and they still found a way to win the games despite all that. I think you're going to see their best game in the Super Bowl.
It is. I mean, we can go back. This seems like a Gonzaga argument in college basketball. You know, like, oh, Gonzaga's so good because they played in the West Cup. Well, they're beating everybody at 50, so they probably are pretty good. I mean, I think the ultimate equalizer here is the Vegas line.
Yep.
There are people who know the game, who are very, very smart, people who build their livelihoods on this, who say the Eagles are a 1.5, 1-point favorite. And again, if you know about these Vegas lines, anything between the 2.5s is really close. So like 3s are where it sticks. And, you know, I was looking this up yesterday. The closing line in the Super Bowl has never closed, at least according to Oddshark, has never closed as a pick'em. This one might close as a pick'em. So we can talk all we want to about battle-tested, not battle-tested. I agree with you that I think that the Chiefs 14-3 is probably more impressive than the Eagles 14-3 because of the schedule they played and what they went through. The bottom line is where these two teams are constructed right now at this moment, this is about as close to a pick'em as you can come. So these, to me, are two very equal teams going into this. And we can talk about you talk about the roster. The roster probably is better. You know why? Because Jalen Hurts costs no money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes costs a lot of money. But I just told you, if you're going into a game like this, would you rather have Patrick Mahomes or the rookie quarterback on his rookie contract? You'd rather have Patrick Mahomes. So all these things go into it, and I'm sure we'll read lots of stories about the roster construction. But the bottom line is these two teams are different, and their rosters are different. But that's because of the quarterback position and how they constructed around that, and the Chiefs are not trading their position for anybody else's out there in the NFL.
We'll be right back after this on WHB.
Hey everybody, Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind: integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Jesse, Nate wants me to ask to get things kicked off for Super Bowl, a Super Bowl-style question, the Andy Reid press conference today. So how about this one? Hey, Andy, cheese steaks or barbecue, huh?
Actually,
that's iconic. You're not going to go wrong
either way. That's a good one,
isn't
it?
You got to save that one for media night is what I'm told
right.
at the Super Bowl.
See, that's why I would have beat him to it. I asked you first.
Well, you get it first, Andy, before everybody else gets it next week.
Andy? Get the hell out of here. We're on the air. What are you doing?
No, it'll come.
This guy's
it'll come.
Been,
oh, no.
It'll come.
What's happening right now?
Pay the man.
Wait, what was
money.
The bet? What was the bet?
No, that's all right. It's all right. We can settle this afterwards. We good.
Someone should be paying me, actually. Someone should be paying me.
Hey, if you're going to Phoenix and you need tickets to the big game or hotel travel packages, go to bullseyeeventgroup.com. The Players Tailgate, hosted by Bobby Flay, is the number one rated event on game day. 60-plus active NFL players, celebrity chefs, all-you-can-eat drink, and food for 4 hours leading up to the game right across from the stadium to make your game day great. The Players Tailgate, hosted by Bobby Flay. For tickets, go to bullseyeeventgroup.com. This is the tailgate that I went to when I was down in Miami for the Super Bowl, and let me tell you something, it was fantastic. I met Ninja, who Nate tells me is a huge star.
Huge.
And he had purple hair, and I loved it. Mm-hmm. And a whole lot about, I took a picture with my favorite chef from Top Chef, Antonia LaFaso, and then she gave me what she cooked, and I ate it. So you can meet Bobby Flay, all these. It's fantastic, all right? There's more than 60 former NFL players and celebrities will be there. And if you are going to be in Arizona already, we're not giving you plane tickets or game tickets. If you're going to be there already, I'm going to give away a pair of tickets to this tailgate right now. 913-3810-810. Caller number what? Nate, you pick. Caller number what?
Caller number 69.
Caller number 69. And boy, look at the look on Marco's face. But caller number 69 is
going
to get two tickets to the Players Tailgate. For more information, go to bullseyeeventgroup.com.
How about just caller number 15?
It's just to the tailgate. You're not getting anything else. So if you're going to be in Kansas City, this ain't going to do you no good. All right? It's trying to help you.
How about caller number 15?
That was yesterday.
Okay.
Come on.
69 then.
All right, there you go. Yeah. Don't back off. So you go out there and... Are you mad that I stole your question, it appears? The cheesesteak barbecue question?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had it on my notebook, too.
You were scratching something. No, I'm like, hey, sorry, it's, you know.
I think I know how I'll answer, don't you? I think I...
I like barbecue better.
I think that's probably what he has to answer to.
Yeah,
right?
He better.
Or will he just say a cheeseburger?
He does take a cheeseburger.
Yeah,
doggone it.
Yeah, doggone it.
Nate said cheesesteaks. I said, you're crazy, dude. So...
Don't remember saying that, but I do. I do like a cheesesteak. I'm not gonna say anything different. I do like a cheesesteak, but not like barbecue.
This is not like you don't. This is not you're like your hatred of the Cincinnati chili.
No, that's garbage.
You'll have a cheesesteak.
Yeah, that chili is garbage. The cheesesteak is a wonderful, but not as good as barbecue.
Jesse, thank you so much for the time. I'll see you at Arrowhead here in a little bit.
Sounds good.
That's Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. All right. Everyone have a great day right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.